Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
It's a Thursday. As usual, I have in the house a mayor, because it's Mayor Thursday, right? But this isn't just your normal mayor. This is like super mayor. Bill Hoster is here from Leeds. Bill, thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me today.
You doing all right? Everything good?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Cool. We have lots to talk about today. What's happening in Leeds, of course, to start things off. But Bill has never been shy about his political leanings and bent. And I kind of like it. I like having him on to talk about the political stuff. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk about Leeds a little bit right now. Southern Utah is experiencing, since 2020 really, but before that even, amazing growth. Is Leeds participating in that?
Yeah, you know, Leeds does have a lot going on. We've got a pretty large development that's got about 750 homes.
Oh, that's all, just 750.
Yeah, 750 homes. And that one, you know, that one's got a long track record with it, going from almost, I don't know, 30 years back. It was in the county and then bought, there was a land swap, and then it was owned by private property owners, and then they sold it to some developers. It's gone through lawsuits. Anyway, it's now, you know, they're cutting up the ground. They're making roads. They're getting infrastructure.
It's happening.
It's there. Yeah. And I've got some people who are really, you know, now at this point, I don't want any neighbors. And so they're going to yell, scream, and do all that they can to try and create clamor to intimidate and bully people to not allow it. But that's not our reality. Our reality is we...
Well, let me stop you for a second. It's hard for me to believe that really happens. People are bullying. People are are threatening because they don't want more houses.
They don't want neighbors, you know? And I get it. I don't want... You know, I kind of moved to Leeds to not have people looking into my backyard. And we all kind of want that, right? But if you want it, you got to buy the lot next door.
I was going to say, but they had to know if I don't own that lot and that lot, someday somebody might build on it.
Exactly. And it's a tough pill to swallow. I get both sides, but the reality is that I'm very pro property rights. And for the people who exist there as well as the ones who are building there. And so, you know, our state legislature has implemented strategies I don't agree with, but I can see why they're there. Mm-hmm. SB 174 was done almost 2 years ago, and this one took power away from the states or from the local municipal legislators to control subdivisions. And now subdivisions are completely controlled by another committee because there were so many city councils and town councils that were denying property owners their rights. Mm-hmm. This past year, I think it's SB 258 came out. That one, some people have seen it in the news over in Kanab and Moab, where they can build their own city now. You know, if the city doesn't want to or town doesn't want to work with them, they just, if they're in the county, they can build their own city. You know, these things are established by a legislative body in our state that does have a lot of developers and pro property rights people on it. And I think their pendulum swings. It's gone too far out, you know, in some of the legislation. But I can see why it's had to, because we've had people who get elected from the clamor who are going to say, well, no, we're just going to say no. We're going to just push back. We're going to stall. We're going to do everything we can to try and prohibit them from exercising their property rights, because these people over here keep yelling at me and paying for my campaign or whatever to do that. And it's wrong. And so the legislative body enacts these laws that now we have to deal with. I don't think it's right. But in Leeds, we've had that. We've had a lot of clamor. But we've also had people who are like very reasonable, understand, you know, yes, you've got property rights. You should exercise them. I knew that when I moved here. I moved here. You should be able to move here. I'm not a socialist. Rules for thee, not for me. And, and so, you know, hopefully that sound of logic resonates stronger, but I'll continue to fight for the property rights. And I'm hopeful that, after this election, we have them sticking around and not disconnecting and doing whatever else they decide to do. But we've been successful in reducing the amount of doorways because we are at the table. So I want to say it happens anyway. The development happens anyway. You can have it happen to you or with you. We've been fortunate it's been with us. So we got the number of doors reduced by 25%. We got a low impact hotel zoned out there that'll bring in several hundred thousand dollars a year in revenue for the town,
which is big. Yeah.
This lowers taxes. Yeah. This lowers taxes. I've had people complain, "Oh, it just it raises taxes," and I can see where they say that. Well, okay, now we need curb and gutter, and we need a police department, and we need some, and those things can raise taxes for sure. But if you are wise in the balance of commercial and impact fees and zoning, hopefully you're not doing that, and you do need to have that consistent balance.
So Leeds right now does not have a police department.
Correct.
You fall under the sheriff's jurisdiction.
Contract.
Will you have to have a police department then, do you think?
You know, no. I don't think so.
I was going to say, it seems like you'd need, you know, 10, 15, 20,000 before you really need to think about a full-time police department.
We do have, you know, challenges with code enforcement, so we'll probably implement that. We've wanted to do it. It's tough with a town our size because it's a part-time gig, right? And they got to have, you know, some sort of qualifications. And so it's been tough to get somebody in there to do that. But you do need that. But, you know, on our sheriff's department's been amazing. Sheriff Brooksby's been so responsive to us and works so well with us.
I was thinking about that code enforcement officer job. It's kind of a thankless job because you're going and telling people, hey, you can't do that. You know, you can't have 9-foot weeds on your property, or you can't park your RV on the curb for 2 weeks at a time or whatever. And I mean, that's a job. We even saw, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, a code enforcement officer in northern Utah get shot to death because some guy didn't like, I mean, you know, she'd been to the house five times or something, and he didn't like the way that she was telling him how he needed to bring his house up to code, and he actually shot her in the driveway. Unbelievable stuff.
Oh,
so that's tough job.
It's getting crazy these days, Andy. It is getting crazy these days. But yeah, with that growth that's going into Leeds, and we've got a couple of other developments that are slated that are much less. But all of the other development that's around us, some of it wants to annex into Leeds, some of it might annex into Tocqueville. They do have advantages of being annexed with a municipality with access to different funds and laws. So, you know, there's an affinity to do that. Again, I'd rather be at the table and able to navigate it our general plan, trying to keep the spirit of what Leeds really is. And I know that Mayor Sipp wants to do the same thing with Tocqueville. And when we have leaders, I think, who realize that and will step in and try to navigate it in that regard, you end up with a positive thing. It's going to come anyway. You know, one of my experiences has been that this happened in Kanab, I guess, 5 years ago, where the city council kept pushing back on a small development that was intended to go out there, and one was a golf course, and finally the developer said fine, sold it to another developer who put in high density housing. You know, they ended up with like 3,000 homes out there, the exact opposite of what they really wanted.
Yeah.
You know, but they felt like they won that one little battle, but they lost the war.
Yeah. So how does SB 258 factor in all this? I like what you said in that it's better for us to work with them and have a little bit of a say than to have them kind of take the end around and do it anyway.
You know, I don't want to dehumanize developers. These are property owners. And, you know, to believe that there's this, and I'm an economics guy, I'm a finance guy, that's my MBA. So, you know, I believe in the free market. I believe that people, when they make an investment, that they should exercise all legal means to make profit. But that shouldn't come at the compromise of any of their neighbors or anybody else unfairly, or in harm.
I agree.
And so when we're talking about this, you know, workaround and things, they have options, to exercise their constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And those have been legislated and codified to help them do these things. When a municipality starts to climb in the way of that, of course, you know, the state legislature is going to, we're subdivisions of the state, right?
Sure.
They're the ultimate authority. So, you know, they can come in and say, hey, look, we don't like the way you're doing this with properties within our state. Yes, you're a municipality, a subdivision of us, but we don't like what you're doing here with these property rights. We don't think it complies with the state's constitution, the U.S. Constitution. We're gonna move in this direction for those property owners that they can exercise. So those options are available. They all are very familiar with it. I've met with many of their attorneys, and they've shared with our attorneys what we can and can't do. And so I think as long as we're in good faith and trying to work with them, that we'll always come to a good compromise. It's my experience that none of them have come in and said, we just want, you know, Disneyland here and you're going to take it. Most of them are, okay, what does the town want? How do we work best with the people of the town? And
sure.
And many do show up and they say, you know, we don't like this or we love that. And we can get some good dialogue and good productivity and results.
You don't, you can't go in my mind, you can't go in with an adversarial relationship right from the get-go.
So true.
With the town that you're moving into. That just, you know, the sour taste will maybe never go away.
Yeah.
If you go in that way. Are you familiar with the CANAB SB 258 situation? Can you shed some light on that? I did a story about it yesterday, but honestly, my knowledge of it was tip of the iceberg.
I'm kind of there too. I've read the story. I think KSL did one. And there's one happening over in Moab too. I also read, you know, 258, to become educated about what it could do to us. And, you know, it looks like, I mean, it's kind of like if you have over 100 people, but under 1,000 people and you're not already in a city, you can create one. You can petition to the lieutenant governor, and then the lieutenant governor has that authority to authorize, and that's the sum. And I'm sure, you know, all the attorneys listening are going, no, there's way more. I'm sure there is. But, you know, that's kind of the sum that I took out of it to make sure that we're guiding and in the right direction. But I think that the feedback I've received from other commissioners and people who are firsthand involved with it was there was a lot of contention. It wasn't just an overnight decision. This was a, you know, refusal to work with them. There was
multiple
bad faith.
Times, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, so when these things surface and they're like, what's our alternative? You know, exhaust all these other resources of working with your municipal elected officials, the people of the government, and try to make things work. And if you can't, why then you've got an option.
And you mentioned you don't want to dehumanize the developers. These guys bought this land with the idea of eventually developing it. They're making payments on what could be a very large sum for this property that they own, and the city's saying, yeah, you can't do anything with that. And so I can, if we're going to say, okay, these are real people,
yeah,
real landowners, I could feel the frustration there because basically they're losing money, a lot of money every month.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think it's how we moved there, right?
Yeah.
We didn't just go in and homestead the place.
Right.
Developers created our subdivisions and things prior. But, you know, and I won't disregard that there's some wicked ones out there. You know, there's some,
sure,
who are just throwing in the cheapest crap they can and trying to connive and maneuver.
Absolutely.
I have not seen that in Leeds, thank goodness. We've sniffed a couple who have tried and left. And we've had good people who are on our city council and planning commission that were able to sniff it out. But the people who we've got there now are amazing and working with us very well, and I hope that continues.
As far as the CANAB thing, there are, I think it's two towns, right, that developers are basically going to create using this new SB 258.
Yeah.
Willow and Echo, I think, are the names
of
the two towns.
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't remember, but.
And they're not very far from CANAB, but they're really the frustration I think the developers felt in this situation was, look, we tried all the means the traditional way of getting this done, and they wouldn't let us get it done, so we're going to go this other way. That's as far as I understand it.
Yep, and that's the sum of it. You know, when you see these applications to disconnect or do all these things, they have to show really that they've tried everything. And I'm familiar with the court cases that have happened in the state of Utah. I've read them, I've looked at them, and wanted to make sure that we were doing the right things in Leeds. And you know, the state is very pro property rights, and so they
as it should be.
Yeah, and they very seldom, if ever, get denied that disconnect if they've tried everything. And so we've taken that into heart every time we have a conversation with the developer.
Do you know, you mentioned a minimum, is there have to be a minimum? I mean, are these going to be real towns? Are they going to have town councils? Are they going
to
have?
That's how it'd have to work.
Yeah. The whole shebang, huh?
Yeah. They would have to do that. That's how it gets, they've got a statute of how it has to be organized.
Okay.
But the Lieutenant Governor's office dictates that and, makes, you know, or not dictates, that was the wrong word,
they approve
but
it, yeah.
Well, they'll approve it, but they also oversee it, you know. Okay. That's the word. So there's established codified law for how municipalities have to be organized and run and reporting and all of those things.
Now, you said you felt like maybe it goes too far. What do you mean by that? SB 258.
Well, one of the things I don't like is that, you know, We had the legislative body of the people completely removed. And granted, I appreciate the fact that they've got to document all of these steps that they took in good faith to work together. But when I'm going to digress a little bit.
Okay.
Most of the people who we're talking to in these smaller towns, they're not paid, and if they are, it's certainly not enough to pay their bills.
Absolutely, yeah.
This isn't their full-time job. They don't have masters in public administration. These are local people who have stepped up to take care of the community and try to help mold things in the way it should be of what people who have elected them asked them. You know, they all agreed this is the pathway we want to go, and they try to do their best in all of this.
Now, so their motivation is just to have a better town.
Just to have a better town.
Where they live.
And, you know, now when, in all of my attorney friends, I apologize ahead of time here, but when we start to get attorneys involved, and that's when, you know, it's kind of gotten a little emotional. It's gotten to where we can't, you know, have a dialogue any longer. Now the attorneys climb in, mm-hmm. and they're going to now escalate this even further. And now it's separated from the people, and the people aren't really dictating what the attorneys do or can or say.
No.
they're moving forward in a direction that, you know, they think the mayor, they think the town council wants, and one of the most expensive answers every attorney has given me is it depends. And
it depends. So, I hate that answer.
Yeah. And, you know, so depends on this or that. And then, you know, so then it gets spiraled out of control. And when that happens, I think the state has the overreach now. They're really pissed when the feds come in and do this to the states, but they're okay doing it to the municipalities.
Hmm.
I think there needs to be a kind of a parachute where there's the ability for, okay, before we get to this level, can we press a reset, reexamine things with professionals, and assess that, you know, there all options truly have been exhausted of what options can be exercised here? Because what happens is these towns, for example, if Leeds experienced this whole new development, if they wanted to disconnect, and the other one wanted to disconnect, that's biased, the town is not going to sustain itself. They will go bankrupt. They can't afford to keep going unless they want to incredibly raise taxes,
right?
To be able to keep the streets going and maintain its basic infrastructure. We don't even offer water, sewer, or police right now. So, you know, those things are very paramount to running a municipality. And all of these people are not indentured servants. They're volunteers.
Yeah.
That's only going to happen for so long as well. And so, you know, but you do have some staff that has to be hired, like your clerk and your parks and recs and things like that. So, nonetheless, these towns will shrivel and die, and they'll either go bankrupt, go back into the county, or they'll have to be annexed in by another town. All of those people get moved further away from having a voice and being able to influence what happens in their backyard.
I'm curious now, you're the mayor of a smaller town, Leeds. What if, say, St. George says, all right, we don't have enough water, we're not approving any more building permits at all. And some developer, maybe owns some land out in Desert Color or wherever, says, well, guess what? I'm going to use 258. I'm going to make my own town. Do you think that will ever happen with a big, bigger city?
No. No, that kind of a scenario, as I read it, that's not an option. But, you know, parts of what you said are challenging. So for even large cities and smaller cities. I've got a development that is in Leeds that has had some environmental challenges, and the owner of this property worked with the state and met the state's guidelines in qualifying its cleanliness, its ability to build on.
It did everything it needed to do.
That's what the state said. Okay. And so us as a town, we can't say, well, we don't trust that. I'm sorry. We're not going to validate what the state has told us. We're going to go a different direction. And we don't have that authority, jurisdiction, anything to do that. And that's the exact same thing with your example here. If St. George said we don't have enough water, well, the state owns the water.
Right.
And so the developer is going to go to the state and say, well, what other option can we do? Can we start to drill here? Can we create our own water company? What are the other options that we have available? And that's where those separations start to occur. This whole 258 thing, I don't think is going to enable that, you know, and there's some language in there that's like, if you're already part of a municipality, you can't do it. You'd have to disconnect and then make your own and do all these things through different hoops. But the reality is, when you have a state that has truly control over the resources and is laying down the groundwork of qualifications, you as a municipality, you have to listen to them. And that property owner, the developer, is going to be knowing exactly what that state's position is on access to water, access to power, access to whatever. And there's a lot of those laws that are on the books right now that try to steer benefits to the local communities that the legislature's taking away little by little by little.
And that's not good. All right. We'll take a break. Bill Hosser on with me on the Andy Griffin Show. We'll be right back. I wanted to talk for just a minute about Ducrest Monument Company. Now, maybe you never even heard of them, but Ducrest is a company. So, all right, you're planning a funeral, maybe sadly for a loved one, or maybe you're just planning your own funeral, pre-planning it. There's a section in there where they ask you about your headstone, your monument for your grave. And you can just go with whatever the funeral home, you know, gives you. They'll fill out. They do it. They don't do it wrong, but it won't be really very custom. But or you can go over to Ducrest Monument Company. They're at 504 West Buena Vista Boulevard in Washington City. And you can say, I would really like to design my own custom monument for my own grave. My wife and I did it. We went in there. We picked the stone that we wanted. And then we went into their design room. This was really cool. We sat down, and they have over the head of the designer is a big screen TV so that you can see what they're doing on the screen, and you can tell them exactly what you want on your monument. It's like I said, it's pretty ingenious, and I think it's really, really cool the fact that they basically will do what you want and put what you want on your monument. Now, don't do something crazy. I mean, you could if you want to, but for instance, we had the red rocks cut out, and we got married in the Jordan River Temple. She hand drew the Jordan River Temple for us, so that's on our headstone as well. And we're just really happy with the way they put our custom monument together. Give Will Ducrest a call today at 435-962-2879. That's 962-2879. And by the way, if you mention you heard about Ducrest Monument Company on the Andy Griffin Show, he'll knock 10% off, right off the top of the price. That's pretty awesome. Again, the phone number 962-2879, Ducrest Monument Company.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. It's Mayor Thursday. Bill Hosser in with me today from Leeds Town. And Bill, we just realized we were both born in 1966.
Yeah, we're old farts, man.
What a great year, though, huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah, 66. By the way, we are the same age as the Super Bowl. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did not know that.
Every time there's a Super Bowl, we just had Super Bowl 59. We're both 59. Well, you're not yet.
Just
you
about.
Will be pretty soon. But Super Bowl started in 1966.
I'll be darned.
So there you go. I don't remember that one.
But anyway,
one of the things that we didn't really talk a lot about it in this first segment, but I wanted to talk about a little more is a little bit of, I don't know what's the word, lack of civility out there.
Oh, now we get to get touchy.
And it's not one side. It's actually both sides.
It really is.
And I did a story this morning about Deidre Henderson getting, somebody had put up and they didn't like the way, it was all about the election and the signatures and all that, but somebody said, what do you think should happen to her? And they put a picture of her up. A few of the comments were like, well, she's a traitor. A few of the comments were, they ought to put her in jail. A few of the comments were basically, we should kill her. We should take her out.
It's repulsive.
Which is unbelievable, Bill.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, I wasn't ever into politics before I moved to Leeds and saw that there was a need for some leadership. I'm quasi-retired. I thought, I'll lean into this and help. I get to experience it myself. I've had two death threats so far. As a volunteer mayor
of a small town.
Trying to help my neighbors. Wow. And then I'll have to show you some of the messages I get from some of these trolls, these private messages about, you know, how I'm hated, I should die, I should, you know, all sorts of great, wonderful things from these people that I don't understand this element of trying to dehumanize someone in politics like it's okay. I'm not a fan of some of the people in our state, but I got to admit, man, I sympathize with even Spencer Cox, who we don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but the things I've seen come out about him, I'm like, no, you can't do that. This is a father. This is a son. This is a public servant. And do we agree with, you know, the last election, the signatures, what, put all of that aside. You know, we don't go after somebody's family, their kids or their life. Yeah. I mean, well, this is ridiculous.
If you think about our current president, a couple of attempts were made on his life. One of them was literally, what, a half an inch away from taking his life.
Yeah.
And maybe
applauding it. Some people applauding
it. Yeah, what has happened here?
I don't get it. Even, you know, the one kid, I can't remember his name, took out the CEO of United Health.
Yeah, and Luigi, whatever.
Luigi.
Yeah.
And there's people like promoting this as if it's a video game, you know?
Is that where it started, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think this has been going on for a long time where, you know, we've got a faction of just whacks that don't seem to connect to that level of understanding or mob mentality. And I think it's on both sides, Andy. I think it's on the left and it's on the right. Mm. And we see, you know, the really woke left that want to do despicable things and, you know, to children, to our school systems and such, that like just shaking our heads and scratching, you know, our noggins, wondering what are they doing. And then, but we also see it on the right where we've got people who are so determined to uproot the establishment. You know, I'll just say this. So, you know, the grassroots, I love grassroots. I am all about grassroots. Mm-hmm. And if we look at what grassroots is it's, you know, it's the door to door. It's the people. It's the trying to make policy at that level. And then, okay, so why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? It's to get to a point to where some of that stuff has been effective, right? And you've won. You've done some things and made some accomplishments.
Made a difference, yeah.
Well, gosh, guess what happens as soon as you've done that? You have now become establishment, who they hate. And so it cycles back, and now the new grassroots wants to come in and undo what the prior grassroots people did. And so I think it has to have some sort of a reset I don't know what it is, but I, even with this state chair election that just happened, and you know the toxicity that was going on social media between some of the supporters of one candidate, Phil Lyman, and the other one, Rob Axon. I don't want to get into the particulars of it. I actually love both of those people. Mm-hmm. I know them both. I know their families. They're both amazing people. But the toxicity of some of these people that they didn't even know the other candidate. They'd never even met them, but they were, yeah, they would throw, you know, oh, well, we should, you know, cook them and tar and feather them. This is, they're demons. They're evil. They're, you know, they're throwing out their own biblical verses of which were crazy. They weren't actually real, but they're just toxic. I don't get it, man.
Do you think it's getting bad enough that it's going to, there's a shading effect? Some people would say, you know, I was going to run for office, but I don't want to do that anymore. I think about President Trump when he was campaigning and he got shot, thankfully, in the ear and not in the skull, which, I mean, it was literally centimeters away. But I think a lot of people, maybe me too, I don't know, because they obviously haven't been in that situation, might have said, you know what, I think I'm out. I mean, this is too much. People are trying to kill me. I think I'm not going to do this now.
No, you're singing my song. So I'm dealing with that right now. I've got some people who on our comment, it's a common social media page for the area, who just trash me. And I've never even met them, you know, and they are trashing other politicians, or, you know, people serving, let me call them that. And 99% of the stuff they say, except for maybe they spell our name right, is wrong. They're lies, they're falsities. And, you know, you try to just ignore it and let it go away. But I have 4 seats that are going to be open in Leeds. I'm begging people, good people, to run. Not the little HOA Nazis, not the people who want to be socialists and, you know, have these short-sighted agendas who've made it very clear that's what they want to do. I'm trying to get really good people who are level-headed and are kind and, you know, educated and want to, you know, from any diversity, it doesn't matter. Just have those qualifications. Stand for the Constitution.
And those people are telling you what?
They're like,
right,
no way, man. Yeah. I am not going to step into that crosshair, those arrows. I don't want that for my kids, my family. I couldn't sleep at night knowing that people hate me that much. And they know me. They know that I'm a pretty good person. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I really care about my neighbors. I do a lot of things that people have no idea about. And they know those things. And they're like, man, if they're attacking you, there's no salvation, you know, and I'm really struggling with it to try and get good people to step up and run. I've had death threats against me in this small town, and people like, you know, no, don't, you know, don't do anything. Just let it go. And I'm, you know, wait a minute. No, it's time the mob mentality that tries to, and these people don't just wake up one morning and go, hey, I want to kill somebody, or they get riled up over these falsities. And I think social media has its momentum with this, but it starts with the lies. And, you know, and it's a half-truth. It's a fraction of the truth, the gray area. And then it gets momentum. Yeah. And then it gets people really riled up to the point to where if there's a little instability, they're going to cross a line. And they're going to say some things and post something about Deidre Henderson. I know Deidre. I like Deidre. We don't agree on a lot of things. But my gosh, I'm just disgusted that someone would actually say that about
killer,
my friend.
Yeah. It's unacceptable. But
none.
Is it a product, do you think, mostly of social media, or is it?
Social media is the tool that has just exploded the opportunity for these keyboard warriors to sit back there and make all of these accusations and try to dehumanize these people that they don't agree with, maybe one aspect or something, and then blow it up and create additional drama, try to get followers. Let's get this mob against this person. And I just think it's really separating the country. And we've seen it from, I think it really started taking off during the Obama time, you know, and our country's leadership. It's probably been stronger before then. I didn't really get too deep into politics before then, but it's been this, you know, us versus them kind of mentality. And when you look and study what mobs can do, it's stuff that they would never wake up and think of doing. But that mob momentum gets them into this lane of dehumanizing, trying to do things that they would never even think of. They would only do it in a video game. You know, they would never do it in person. So behind that keyboard, they feel empowered, and things sometimes get out of control.
Modern day lynch mob, I guess.
It is. And it's sad because we need good people, like we were talking about earlier on your show, to stand in there so that we don't get legislated out of our rights at the local level. And those people are not stepping up anymore. They're just done with the lynch mob.
I've said it many times. I don't think I will ever run for office because.
And I would love to see you in there. You'd be amazing.
The downside of getting death threats for. I mean, what did you do, Bill, to get a death threat? Well, nothing. I'm trying to make Leeds better. You know. let me throw a couple of commercials in. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. He's Bill Hoster, mayor of Leeds Town, which...
It's so funny. I got to make this comment.
Yeah.
So the Andy Griffin Show...
Uh-huh.
Intro here.
Yeah.
We had somebody at our city council last night call Leeds Mayberry.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think they were pretty, I think they were pretty right on, man.
Yeah.
You know, we love it there. We have such amazing people. And, he turned to the audience and he said, does anybody want to leave? And not one hand was like,
no.
They were all like, you know, no, it is love. It is a lovely place. We love it.
And then unfortunately you have, And the whole Andy Griffith Show was built around outsiders coming in and creating controversy. I remember watching one episode, a fugitive wanted by the FBI was there, and the FBI smart guys out there knew how to get him. And, of course, Andy, old folksy Andy, figured out how to trick the guy into turning himself in or something.
I love that show.
Yeah, you do have some outsiders, maybe now insiders because they live there now, and trying to dictate policy, I suppose, huh?
I always loved the reason that Andy was able to they wrote into that show.
Yeah.
You know, he would always kind of just bring the fatherly reasoning.
In. Yeah. Yeah. I wish we could live by that.
I wish.
Do you remember when TV was about, I mean, every show practically had some kind of moral to it, some kind of uplifting whatever.
I'm ready for the cameras to show up in my town hall and just have a reality show there now. I got to admit, man. And I watch some of the others around us, too, because I like to see what they're doing. And they are good friends. All the mayors around us are really good friends. And I've come to just love every one of them. And we're going to have a big shakeup this year. We got a lot of elected officials that, I think Santa Clara, Ivins, their mayors are calling it quits. They're hanging it up. I know Michelle Randall is planning to run again.
Yeah.
Michelle Tanner, I know she just announced that she's planning to run again.
She's going to run for mayor?
For city council.
Just for city council. Okay.
Yeah. I think her leadership's been amazing. She's got to. I mean, she's offended some of these, you know, grassrooters, that were just diehard, people. But I think, they've got to look at I'm looking at it from the outside, Andy, and going, look at what she did for their budget and for their transparency and all of these things that for decades were not able to be done. And one new person comes in and is able to get these things done. And she's working great with the other council members and doing things. But I think, you know, it takes a little bit of learning and polishing of the edges. And she's done great. I think, you know, Mayor Sipp out of Tokerville, he's a great guy. He's gonna run again. He's got so much happening up there too.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
And they fall in the crosshairs of criticism, but those are the good leaders that we need to stay in there.
So we were talking about before we went to break about the motivation for someone, why they would want to do that when you know you're going to expose yourself to some really I think for the most part, not always, but for the most part, unwarranted anger and hate and venom even from people that aren't happy because you, like you said, maybe you didn't do them a favor. Like, he's my buddy. Why didn't he hook me up, you know?
Yeah. I think those are the loudest ones. They've got a personal vendetta. I was given some really wise advice from somebody who has been through this for almost three decades, and a great attorney friend of mine. And he said, you know, the ones who are happy with what's going on and content, they're not showing up at the council meetings. Hmm. They're doing their stuff with their kids. Yeah. They're watching TV, whatever. It's the ones who've got a vendetta, a grievance, whether it's their own personal power being threatened or, they want a wall that's this high, but the ordinance only says it can go this high, or they want to build on a hill, but the law says you can't. And, you know, all of those things seem to be, you know, the ones who want to show up and then yell the loudest and manipulate things the worst and cause the clamor. And people then listen to them and think, oh my gosh, you know, we're at war. And, you know, all of a sudden, and that's the intent, you know, is to try and get this momentum behind them to justify their position only for their own satisfaction, their own little issue that they want resolved.
How do you then, as a politician, as a community leader, deal with that fact? Knowing, I think you're absolutely right, and knowing that the majority is content, they're not at the meeting, they're at home because they are content. And yet you have this very loud minority coming in trying to influence you. How do you deal with that?
You know, I wish I knew a better way. If anyone has an idea, please call in. It's tough to try to do positive stuff with social media and things. I think communication's a strong part of it. You know, the town council we had last night was just a cluster of, you know, personal vendettas. Yeah, of people who've got agendas that went up there and, you know, just vile and vitriol. I got home last night. My wife's like, yeah, we're not doing this. You know, this is ridiculous. You volunteer all these hours. You suffered with your business ventures and sacrifice to do all of these things. And then I got a text from this guy I hardly ever talk to. I've just met him a couple times, and it just warmed my heart. And I got another one this morning that we just while we were talking. But it said, you know, Mayor Hoster, I won't say his name and everything, but I'm so glad you're our mayor and appreciate your service to our little slice of heaven. Thank you. Please don't let the naysayers get you down. Plenty of smart people who realize what you're negotiating with the different factions. And as you pointed out, they could form their own new city and we wouldn't have a seat at the table. We'd be screwed. Please hang in there. Plenty of good people have your back. You may not hear us. Sincerely, in his name.
That's nice. Yeah.
It brought me to tears. It brought me to tears.
And I think, hopefully, as I'm sitting there questioning, why do you do this? Why do people do
this? It's that one.
It's that. And the thing is, that doesn't represent one guy.
No.
That represents what I feel is most of us.
I think that's why we're all there.
Yeah, it's just the loud ones on either side, on the edges that make it hard.
And learning how to just filter them out is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. My wife is having a tough time with it. My kids see this stuff. My kids see this stuff and call me, you know, and it's hard for them to take it out. They're like, can I just respond to this? I'm like, please don't. Please don't respond to them. You know, we have certain names that we call it. You know, it's like, don't. It's hard. It's hard. And, you know, we all want to get along. We all want to be accepted and liked and such. But leadership is never easy. I've seen my colleagues in Washington County, I've seen our commissioners get just drugged through the mud.
Some of the stuff that's said about them, unbelievable.
Yeah, and I know the challenges that they're facing, you know, the whole story. And we'll sit and talk sometimes about these things, and oh my gosh, you know, some of these Facebook pages of the people who are trying to trash them, they have no idea what's really going on in these circumstances. And they try to, they'll try to come in with their phones and videotape them and try to catch them in a, you know, a gotcha moment, you know, where they might get upset of being fed up or something like that. And it's just wrong. I'm disappointed in that. But to answer your question, that's what I think steers the good people away.
Yeah. And hopefully not steers them away permanently. Hopefully we have good people like Bill Hoster who can...
You're nice. I appreciate that.
Hang in there and get wade through all the... for lack of a better wade through all the BS and somehow make a difference. We appreciate you, Bill.
Brother, I appreciate you so much. Keep going for us.
Out of time, Bill, thanks for coming in. Tomorrow, Open Line Friday, we'll talk about what you want to talk about, what I want to talk about. It'll be a lot of fun. Join us then. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Take care.